Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is your partner in success, Denise Griffiths. I am an online entrepreneur and a virtual assistants industry expert, and I'm also a web developer. I want to welcome you to the Online Entrepreneur Audio Interview Series. We have wonderful guests every week, and their intent and my intent for this show is to help you build and grow your online business. I've created this audio series to provide you with practical guidance from very successful entrepreneurs to learn the key secrets to how they build and grow their online businesses. My intention for this series has always been to empower you to achieve your dreams and live a successful and very accomplished life. Today I'm really excited. I have as a guest Tracy Pay, who is known as Miss Organized. We all need organization. I will tell you straight out, I am a picture straightener. I have been known to go into model homes and straighten pictures. I still need help with organization. We get so busy, we get so swamped, that it's very easy to take a file and put it on the floor next to your chair instead of walking across the room and putting it in the filing cabinet. So Tracy can help us get organized both with our personal lives and our business lives, and that translates into dollars for all of us. There's just no question about that. Tracy has been organizing spaces professionally into livable and lovable environments, I love that, for 5.5 years and for the pure joy of it for 25 years, and we'll address that in a few minutes. She also integrates the power of feng shui. Did I say that correctly, Tracy?
You sure did.
Feng shui into her services, resulting in powerful, positive changes for her clients. Tracy's a single mom, and she has a 6-year-old daughter named Paris. Paris and Tracy were cast for the show Must Love Kids on TLC, which premiered this past summer. Tracy's mission is to empower parents and their children with lifelong organizing skills so that a higher quality of life can be maintained, and she's also translating that into helping people like me who are online entrepreneurs organize. We need it. So first of all, Tracy, thank you so much for being here and welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited
that you're here with me today because organization is a critical part of any virtual assistant's world or coach's world, anybody who's working online.
Right.
We simply don't have time to be unorganized in any fashion, and I know that new VAs and new coaches just coming into our industry are going to be absolutely delighted to learn organizational tips and tricks from you. I said it right that time, and then I missed tricks. It's Friday. I will apologize straight out of the shoot. So, Tracy, thank you for being here. And can you tell us a little about yourself and how you came to be known, and I love this, as Miss Organized?
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for having me on your show. And
thank you
for the listeners who are listening. And, my earliest memory of organizing is at 12 years old. And I used to have a friend whose house was really, really messy. And I loved going to her house because I wanted to clean her room. So we go there, and she had all intentions of playing, and I had all intentions of organizing. And after a while, she stopped inviting me over. And
You were messing around with her neuroses.
Yeah, she didn't find organizing fun, but I did. And every job that I had after that, there was always some sort of element of organizing. And I just see the mess, and I'd say, let me at it. And I would just get it all organized, and I just loved it. And it wasn't until I had my daughter. She was maybe a couple months old. And I'm sitting home, and I'm watching Home and Garden television. And I see the show Mission Organization. And I see the professional organizer come on the screen, and I'm thinking, what? Are you kidding me? Somebody's actually getting paid to do what I've been doing for free for years, out of the sheer joy of it. So it took me about 6 months. I opened up my business and just started organizing people. Just started organizing them. And I had the business name, Miss Organized. And I just absolutely love it. It's my passion, and I'm very, very good at it. It's a natural thing for me to do, and I've just noticed that the majority of the people that I tend to attract who are my organizing clients are business owners, and especially for business owners who are in a stage of getting ready to move their business to the next level. They seem to get to this place where they're thinking, okay, you know what, I know that my business is increasing, and they're smart enough to know, so I'm going to handle more clients then I better get my foundation stable. And so that's where the smart decision is made. Okay, I better make sure that all my ducks in a row and getting organized and have systems in place to be able to handle the overflow of business.
Right, and that's so important. I have clients come to me and say, well, you know, I have this wonderful idea. I'm very creative, but everything is a wreck.
Oh, boy,
and
you
almost have to shut their businesses down temporarily. And,
mm-hmm.
and I don't mean stop business, but refocus and just get into that linear level thinking where everything gets contained and put away where it belongs so they can clear up that creativity.
Right. And that's very, very smart. And, yeah, and there's a lot of people who have the creative gene. And, you know, if they have that creative gene, a lot of times they don't have, like you said, the linear thinking to be able to set the systems up in place. And they go about it and setting up their systems for themselves. But the process of getting organized, especially if you've been disorganized for a while, can be very overwhelming for a lot of people. So what I have found is my clients have attempted in the past to do it on their own. But then because their business is, because they're so busy, they just can't seem to really do it. And if they do it, they're setting themselves up to temporarily be successful with organizing, but not lifelong organizing. And that's the benefit of hiring somebody professionally, because we can come in there and we can take care of what you need for right now, but we can also anticipate your future growth and what you're going to need in the future and set you up for that, so you're not getting disorganized every week. You know, it's a lot of people really wonder, you know, as far as like having an organizer versus, say, a maid. Well, what's the difference with having an organizer coming in versus a maid? And a maid relies on you getting dirty again and disorganizing, you know, cleared up again, or else they wouldn't have a job. And a organizer, our intention is to set you up so that in the future that you can continue to be organized.
Right.
So that's why I always recommend to business owners to do it right, unless you have, you know, the skills and the understanding and the time and the energy and the motivation to do it on your own. It really makes a lot more sense for you to bring in somebody who can be a second set of eyes for you and get your business set up so you have lifelong success.
Well, and then there's the accountability factor. If you have paid somebody to come in and organize you, you almost don't want to let them down.
That's right.
I wouldn't.
That's
I mean,
right.
If I paid somebody good money and I was so appreciative of what they did for me,
mm-hmm.
I would want them to be proud of me.
Mm.
I would absolutely maintain that work that had been done and to, you know, take the maid thing a little further. Once you're organized, it's really just a matter of having somebody come in and maintain
exactly
what you've already taken care of. You can get a little
right.
bit messy, but they don't need to come in and go, oh my gosh, where do I start?
Right.
So,
that's absolutely
you know,
right.
So tell me, and I have very dear friends and I have clients who are incredibly disorganized and
mm-hmm.
being a linear thinker, and you are, we talked about this earlier before the show started when Tracy was describing how she got involved in this. The first question that came out of my mouth was, you're an oldest child, aren't you? She said, yes. I recognized her because so am I, and we tend to be linear, organized thinking, and just a little bossy.
Well, I happen to know.
True.
Like I'll tell you, a former boss of mine called me, what did he call me? A pit bull with lipstick.
Now, where have I heard that one before? This, it is nothing wrong with being tenacious. I'm all for
yes.
it.
That's another
but
way
what
to
happened,
put it.
And I'm like you. I have witnesses all of my life, and I have one very, very dear friend. I love her to death. I almost can't bear to go to her home. It's painful for me.
Mm.
Why do people clutter? I don't understand the psychology behind it. I do understand when you're very, very busy. I'm guilty of it myself. I tend to get a little bit cluttered.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say a little bit, that's probably nothing to a lot of people, but it shuts me down.
Yeah,
I have to physically
agreed.
Stop what I'm doing,
agreed.
Clean up my little mini mess, and then move on. It's a psychological process for me. I can't
Completely.
Bear it. So why do people clutter? Do you have any insight?
I do. Actually, you're absolutely right. There's a psychological component towards disorganization, and the disorganization is just a manifestation. Your external reality of disorganization is just manifestation of what's going on the inside. It's just a projection of what's going on the inside. And there's many different reasons why people get disorganized, but everything really goes back to fear. I mean, that's really all everything is anyways, is fear and love. And it all goes back to fear. And one of the biggest reasons why people get disorganized, it actually starts, one of the surface emotions that starts is procrastination. But procrastination, there's really
yeah,
just
means
really
I'll
goes...
take care of it tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fact, I know somebody that is the head of the I'll Procrastinate Later Club.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and you know, procrastination, you know, does serve its purpose sometimes. Sometimes things just don't need to be taken care of right away. They can be put in the B list or the C list, you know, if you follow the Franklin Planner philosophy. But some things really do need decisions to be made right away. And but there's also a lot of other things that are going on. So as an example, sometimes I find clients who are, there's a rebellion going on. So they maybe had a parent that was overly organized when they were little. And as a result, they get older and they just kind of have this attitude of like, huh, it's my space, it's my stuff, and I could do what I want with it. So you got that going on. There's another thing I've seen before where it's the client just kind of gets into this place in their life where they want to really just kind of shut themselves away from the world. And they actually will start to form a barrier, like in their home. If the people if you have people who have disorganization and they're not able to invite people over to their home, maybe on some level they are actually kind of shutting themselves off from the rest of the world and giving themselves a reason to not invite people over. So that could be another thing. You find people at work maybe who are got you know stacks of paper all over the place. They want to project to people that I am really, really, really busy and I am totally overwhelmed and I can't handle any more work. So they want people to actually physically see that that's the truth for them. So they create that for themselves.
I've actually seen that.
Yeah, it's very, very common. It's very, very common. But, you know, you do also have the people who are just, they've just gotten so busy and the systems that they have set up, say when they first started their business, the system that they set up when they first started their business, and now all of a sudden their business has grown, those systems they set up in the first place were not set up to accommodate the growth in their business. So they need to revamp their systems. Or it could be just something as simple as their filing cabinet. Their filing cabinet just has a little, the drawer doesn't open. Mm-hmm. And and something as simple as that, where the filing drawer is a pain in the butt to actually open, that would be enough to say, oh, you know what, I'm just going to put this here right now. I'll file it later. And
yeah, filing cabinet is not where you store your Christmas cards, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah, or children's toys.
Yeah.
It's actually a functioning piece of furniture in your office.
It really is. It really is. But you know what's actually interesting? The where a lot of this clutter mindset actually started, Denise, was actually back in the Depression. When the Depression happened, you found a lot of people who were just storing things as simple as paper bags. And they were storing it because the price of everything went up. And they were like, I better hold on to this stuff because I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford it again. And so they started developing this hoarding mentality. And then, of course, if they have children, then they're teaching these children, they're modeling a hoarding behavior for their children. Their children see this, and they do one of two things. They either grow up just like their parents and do the same thing, or they look at that and go, oh, I'm going to be the complete opposite of that. And then it just gets passed down through the generations. So as you can see, there's lots of different reasons why people get disorganized.
That's an excellent point, because I do know people who, you know, their parents did grow up or, you know, were part of the general recession. And it never occurred to me to make that connection. So I'm going to revisit some of these things. Thank you. I mean, that was a great, great point.
Thank you.
So once you kind of identify, is this how you start? Do you identify why they're cluttering? Is that part of your process? How does your process work when you're working with a client? I mean, you can go in. I have seen offices that were just neurotic. There is no other way to describe them.
Sure.
You walk in, and it's almost like a physical wall hit. You just go, ugh, and you turn
sure.
around and walk
neurotic
back
neurotic and
out.
Chaotic.
Neurotic and chaotic is exactly right. And you just walk in, you just feel like you've been assaulted almost.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with something like that? Because nobody, I don't believe for a moment that anybody really enjoys that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're searching, they're digging. And anybody who says, oh, I can find anything on my desk in a moment's notice, in my concerted opinion, is lying. They can't. Yeah, if it's that cluttered and you have stacks that are falling over or being
right.
held up by a wall, they
right.
can't lay their hands on it immediately.
Right.
How do you kind of start that process?
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, what I do is I just explain to them how the systematic approach that I'm going to use to getting them organized in the first place. I subscribe to the Julie Morgenstern, who is a leading authority in the professional organizing business. She has a very simple, systematic approach that she uses to organize the space, which I'll explain a little bit later. But what I do is I just start that process. And I don't really go too far into the psychology behind anything when we first get started. I kind of let that reveal itself. Because when we first start, the people are in this state of mind that they're so overwhelmed and they just want to get started and they just want help. And they really can't process much more than that. And so for me to, if I was to lay them down on a couch and say, okay, explain to me what's going on. Tell me what happened to you when you were 5 years old so I can figure out exactly why you're getting disorganized. They're going to run away
sure.
because that's not what they're looking for right now. But what will happen is as we start to move things, clutter, you know, just starting to let stuff go, there's like this weight that's lifted from them. And it's almost immediate. You could just see it in their eyes. Every single client I have, they're just like within maybe 10, 15 minutes, they're like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, I can't believe this. I can't believe that. Look at all of this. Oh, my gosh, look at all of this. And then as they start to release, then they start to get to a place where they're going to be a little bit more accepting of anything that I have to share with them as to why this might be going on. And so I'll just kind of start asking some questions. Oh, okay, so you're holding on to Grandma's teapot from that she gave you when you were 20 years old, and why are you holding on to that? And then they start telling their story. So the more information that they give me, the more I can start kind of connecting the dots. And then once I've started to gain their trust, then you can start revealing a little bit more of what I'm seeing. And the gift that I actually have is I consider myself to be a bit of an intuitive. I wouldn't call myself somebody that, you know, it's just, you know, I could sit down and read somebody's life. But it's really interesting to me because their stuff almost starts to speak to me. And I just kind of start getting an understanding of what's going on. And then I start to understand, you know, why they do what they do. And then I'll start to kind of reveal it to you and reveal it to the client. And then they just kind of go, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And then what I found is through the process, when they start to reach this level of awareness about what their organizing is doing to them, then that's when the real magic starts to happen. And when they start releasing and getting aware, then they get into what I call the flow. And once the flow happens, then they're just going to start just getting rid of stuff left and right, and they're just not even going to believe that they are getting rid of stuff as quickly as they are. So I just kind of let the process unfold and let the answers come as they're supposed to be coming.
Okay, so what happens, you know, we have a lot of clients and we have a lot of people on my VA team, and this is a little bit different from you physically going in and doing it, although I'm sure that the two mesh. If someone wants to get organized on their own, how can you help them do that? Because, you know, you can just handle so many people locally. But trust me,
right.
you're going to have people online who want your services.
Right.
So how can you kind of coach people or assist them in getting that process started?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I do is I can do phone consultations and email consultations. And basically where we would start is I would do an assessment and find out what the person's needs are, what their goals are. And then I would actually have them send me some either video or photos of their space that they're looking to get organized. And I usually recommend, especially if we're just, you know, working with somebody who's going to be doing it themselves, I usually recommend let's just start with a space. Let's not tackle the entire house right now. Let's just start with maybe your closet. And
no. The shoe closet? No.
A closet.
No.
Let's start with a drawer.
Okay. The shoe closet is sacrosanct. Nobody touches the shoe closet.
Well, you know, whatever it's going to work. You know, it's interesting is because if I have people who are really, really, really stuck and they're just like completely overwhelmed, I say, you know what, let's just start with a drawer in your kitchen. And I tell you what, Denise, just simply starting with even a drawer can start to shift energy and create motivation. So, you know, it just depends upon the client what I think that they can possibly handle. That's why it takes a little bit of a talking to them to find out what they can do. And
that's where the intuitive part comes into play.
Yeah, absolutely. And just listening to their, you know, the way that they're talking, if they're, and what their, you know, how much time they have. And yeah, it really is just kind of getting in tune with what they're all about. And then what I would do is I would say, okay, well, let's just say, for instance, we're going to do the wardrobe closet. Okay, so we're going to start with that. Now, and I would start with, okay, let's figure out exactly when you're going to do it. So we actually put a date down in the calendar. I tell them exactly how long it's going to take. Okay, so if it's going to take 12 hours at least, and yes, believe it or not, a wardrobe closet can take at least that. And I say, okay, it's going to take you 12 hours. Okay, in your busy schedule, you can only dedicate 4 hours a week to that. Okay, so in 4 hours a week, what day are we going to do it? Okay, what is the time slot? So we start there. We make it very, very realistic for this person to actually do it. And then I say, okay, now this is the approach you're going to use. In phase one, and I start going through the steps. And then I break it down for them in a very simple plan. And then the real important part about doing this with people who are going to do it for themselves is the accountability factor. And I find that one of the biggest reasons why people who have all the best intentions of the world of organizing themselves don't see the project through is because it's very overwhelming. And they get in there and they start it with all the gusto. Okay, this weekend I'm going to organize my garage. Mm-hmm. And their garage is such that they haven't been able to park their car in there for 25 years. And they think they're going to get it done by themselves on a weekend. Not going to happen.
No,
so
it took my husband and I 2 weekends to do it after Christmas.
Wow.
We had to sort through. I had everything brought out of the attic, and we sorted through Thanksgiving. We sorted through all of those things, gave some of it away.
Wow.
Sent some to Goodwill. Mm-hmm. You know, we sorted everything, put it all back in the attic, so next year I don't have this angst.
Good for you, and you actually accomplished it in record time. Because
my schedule is so tight that, you know, I told my husband, let's go now, let's go.
And he actually cooperated?
Oh, yeah, he knows what my schedule's on. He also knew if he wanted any parking space in that garage that he had to work it, and, you know, there was a sense of urgency there, if you will.
Right,
because
right.
Otherwise it just wasn't going to get done, and he knew it, so.
Right, wow.
But psychology, it's the psychology.
Yeah,
I knew which button to push, and I did.
Good for you. And, you know, it's interesting you bring that up because a lot of times I have clients say to me, you know, I've got this, my husband, he's a pack rat, and I want to get this space organized. Let's just use the garage as an example. I want to get the garage organized, but my husband, he won't do it. And every time I go to him and say, honey, you've been holding on to those magazines, Sports Illustrated magazines,
right. Your
you were
high school journals.
15 years old, and they're just sitting there collecting dust. And well, the husband's not, most of the time, is not going to listen to what wifey's saying because he's going to read into that. It's like, oh, well, she's just got an agenda against me. Oh, she's just blah, 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 fill in the blank. And that's why I actually also call myself a mediator or an organizing mediator because I come in as a third party, and I'm just simply saying, okay, here's what I'm telling you that makes sense, and these are the reasons why. And there's no attachment on my part. There's no hidden agendas for me to say what I'm saying to either the wife or the husband. And so I'm able to communicate what needs to be done to both parties and actually make the communication between them a lot easier so that movement can be made. And I can't tell you how many times I had one wife who just turned her entire family Wouldn't do a thing. Her sons, her daughter, her husband, not a thing. And I got in there and I just started do, just very, very simply. And next thing you know, the whole backyard got full of all the stuff that the husband has been holding on to. And he says, get the truck, let's go. Get the dumpsters, let's go. And so that's the other part that I do. But as far as, you know, the people who want to do it for themselves, the accountability factor is really, really important. So along with setting them up with a plan and actually saying, this is when you're actually going to do it, I'm actually checking in. Okay, Saturday we plan from 12 to 4, you're going to be doing this. Okay, I might check in with you at 2 o'clock. Okay, you're 2 hours into it. How you doing? Oh, well, I'm just getting really, really overwhelmed. Okay, well, let's take a step back and let's maybe focus on something a little bit smaller. So it's really important that you have somebody there, even if you have to have a friend. Even if you call Susie and say, Susie, please come over here with me. I'm going to organize my garage from 12 to 4 on Saturday. Can you please come here and make sure that I stay focused? Really
important.
That's also
an excellent way to move your junk to somebody else's garage, too, because your friends always want your stuff. So it's a transfer, if you will.
You
keep
that
in mind.
You can do that. I've
done
people do that.
That's how I know it works.
Yeah.
Like, y'all want to come over, I'll make sandwiches. And then I give them my junk and my garage is clean. It's a very cool thing.
Smart. Whatever, and it makes you feel better because at least you're not throwing your stuff in the landfill.
That's right, and somebody will enjoy it, and I don't feel guilty. So.
Exactly.
Plus you get to see your friends.
Exactly. And visit your stuff from time to time if you want to.
Yeah, there's always that. So if you have the spouse who is disorganized, and I'm very grateful that I don't, but if you have a spouse who just is not real interested in getting organized and kind of keeping spaces clear and not bringing more garbage, well, treasures into the home, if there are any men listening, I'm sorry. how do you cope with that? I mean, there does come a point where you just have too much stuff. The rule of thumb around my house is if you haven't seen it in 2 years, if you haven't needed it in 2 years, if at the end of 2 years you locate it and you can't identify it,
yeah.
It's gone.
Yeah.
You don't need it.
Yeah, and that, I think, theory works well for people like us who have no problem, letting stuff go. But for the people who have a difficult time letting go, I think that theory just kind of goes in one ear and out the other.
Gotcha.
Personally.
So how do you help those people?
Well, a couple different ways. First of all, let's just say you have the wife and husband who want to share, who are sharing the office together. And you've got the wife who is going to get organized and the husband who wants to keep stuff the way it is. It never ceases to amaze me how this works. You get the wife, let's just reverse it for a second. Let's just say the opposite way. Let's not, take it out too much.
We're not
on
going
the
to be sexist
here.
On this call. We're not.
Yes, exactly. Let's just say the husband's organized and the wife is disorganized. If the husband's getting organized, it almost always seems to rub off on the other people in the household. So what will happen is all of a sudden the wife will look at her space and go, oh, my gosh, well, comparison to my husband, I'm just like, yeah, I could probably clean up a little bit. And I hate to say it, but maybe there's a little bit of embarrassment going on and maybe a little bit of competition going on.
And
but,
those are both healthy.
What's that?
Those are both healthy.
That's what I'm saying is that, if a little competition is going to spark, what you need the motivation to get yourself organized, then so be it. So that's one thing. And I always tell the client, I say, I want to be organized. Listen, let's just start the process and you're going to get yourself organized. And I can almost guarantee you that it's going to have an effect in the house, a positive effect in the house. And people are just going to start looking at their stuff differently. And they're just going to start getting organized as well. It almost always seems to happen. And another thing that I do for the spouse who maybe is having a difficult time letting stuff go, I do this for anybody, is I help them to look at their stuff more from an energetic perspective. So rather than using the saying of like, if you haven't seen it in a year, let it go, because I'm telling you what, Denise, I've got some clients who are really, really good at justifying everything.
Oh, I know. I have friends that do the same thing. And, it's their thing. I don't worry about it. I don't try to change it, but I'm always intrigued by it.
Oh, always.
It's just a fascinating thing for me. I'm not going to go in and say, oh, my God, this is a mess, but I'm fascinated by it in a macabre kind of a way.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah, I'm fascinated. It always makes me kind of giggle inside when I talk to this person and say, okay, so you have that shoestring, and yes, I've seen this before. you have that box of shoestrings that are sitting there, and you've had them since you were 5 years old. Really? Do you really need that? You know, I'll start doing the typical organizer questions. Mm-hmm. Well, of course I do, because da-da-da-da-da. And they give me, and I tell you what, sometimes the answers that they give me, I'm just like, well, that actually makes sense. some of them are so good.
Are you writing a book? You need to write a book.
You know, that's, I have actually been told that before, so I think that's going to be in my future, absolutely. And but it's fun, it's comical. It's actually quite comical, some of the things that they come up with. But what I do is when I get them to look at it from an energetic perspective, what I say to them, and this is tying in with the whole feng shui, is that everything is energy. Everything is energy. And when you have, and your stuff is energy, and you can actually project your intentions and your thoughts into your stuff, and then your stuff can either hold a positive or a negative charge. So, like as an example, I had a client who had this beautiful chest that was sitting in her walkway in her home, but it had a gunshot wound. It had a the poor chest got a gunshot wound. I had a bullet mark in the chest from where her ex-husband had actually shot it. And even though it was a beautiful chest that was sitting there, it had this bullet shot in there.
And it also has those awful memories.
Exactly. So
I would get rid of that in a heartbeat.
I would get rid of it in a heartbeat, too. But
yeah,
she just,
it would
she
not
just
live with
in,
me.
She was just attached to it in a way that, well, for her own reasons, she was attached to it. But when I brought that awareness to the surface, and again, that's what I do, is I don't say, oh, you should and you shouldn't. I just bring a level of awareness to it and just get them to, like, look at it from a different perspective, especially an energetic perspective. And I say, you know, when you look at this, how does that make you feel? And then the story comes up.
And all those little memories come back, and they're with her every time she looks at it.
Right, exactly.
Whether she's aware of it or not.
Exactly. And she's gotten so used to it that there's actually a comfort level there. And so when I just bring it to the surface and say, hey, you look at this, and what does that make you think of? Well, this is da-da-da, what happened. And then all of a sudden, their eyes just kind of get bright and wide, and they go, why have I been holding on to this thing? And then they could see, then all I'm doing is just facilitating the process of the awareness for them to make the decision for themselves whether it makes sense for them to keep it or not. Sometimes, even if something that is, you know, would seem to us on serving and energetically negative, somehow, some way, it is still serving them. And that's their thing.
But they don't know it. So basically, once you point that out and they understand that they can now replace that with something that has positive energy for them, something that is very much in tune with their current lifestyle and their hopes, dreams, aspirations, they're able to let go of that?
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Yeah, because they can see when I express to them, if you have a house or an office or, you know, whatever your environment is, and if you're constantly looking around in every little space that you see, when you look at it, that stack of magazines, oh, gosh, I haven't read those things in 10 years. I need to get to it. All of a sudden brings anxiety to you. Okay, that's negative energy. Then you look over there to the jeans that are sitting in your closet, the jeans that you've been meaning to fit into for the past 5 years, but you just haven't managed to get the weight off. Oh, it's a reminder of, oh, my gosh, I'm not as thin as I want to be. Negative energy. And you just keep on looking in every single space. And then I say to them, can you imagine you're sitting in your space right now and everywhere you look, there's nothing but negative energy just kind of percolating around here?
It'll wear you out. It will absolutely wear you out, and you don't even know it.
You don't even know it, exactly, because you're so used to it. And that's why it takes a third, a second pair of eyes to come in and bring the level of awareness. And then I just help them to understand, especially business owners, I help them to understand, do you realize that if you're just surrounding yourself with all of this negative energy, can you see how that's impeding your growth? Can you see how that's causing you to be not as productive as you want to be? Can you see how when you walk into your office and the first thing you feel is you want to throw up, can you see how that's stopping you? And
I'm
had clients tell me that.
Been there, done that.
That.
That's when you turn around head for the coffee room and you just don't go back for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if you can see that, then people finally start to get it, like, oh, okay, well, maybe this is why my business hasn't excelled. Maybe this is why when I come home at the end of the day, I'm instantly cranky. So people start to make the association that their stuff is holding them back from being able to live their lives the best that they can.
And keep in mind, and I don't know if you've thought about this in your practice, I'm certain you have, just speaking with you, your things will outlive you, by the way. I mean, you look at any antique store. I mean, look at look at, you know, the artifacts that are left after a person's death. These things will outlive you. If they are not serving you, don't let them live with you. It's a very simple concept.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And when you talk about the whole serving, you know, again, we do what we do because on some level it serves us. Even if it's not serves us in a good way, somehow or another we're getting something from it. So as an example, when people use the whole guilt thing, which, by the way, a lot of disorganization, holding on to stuff, actually is a guilt-based type of thinking.
It's
I can't get rid of
self-esteem type of thing, isn't it?
Yes, it can be tied to all sorts of stuff.
Don't really like myself sometimes.
Absolutely. You know, it's almost like it could be a form of punishment.
That's a good thing.
It's just all sorts of stuff. But, you know, on some level, it does serve. So as an example, when we go back to the whole barricading themselves from the rest of the world, it's serving them for that period of time because that's what they want in their life. They want to shut themselves out from the rest of the world. So then when they get to this space where they're like, you know what, I'm done with this. I don't want to barricade myself anymore. I want to invite people to my home. I want to open myself up to relationships again or being out in public again or just, you know, just being out there again. Then when they start to do that internal shift, then they will start to notice that their environment doesn't serve them anymore. It doesn't serve what they need in their lives anymore.
Right. So then the weight that they may have put on doesn't serve, and all of the barricades that they put up don't serve. Do you find, and this is just an off-the-cuff question, do you find that once people really get organized and they really understand what is not serving them and what they can replace that with that will serve them, that they start to make other shifts in their life, emotional shifts and, let's just say, physical shifts? All of a sudden
they're
going to the gym and they're feeling better and they order new makeup if they're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Or they buy a new car if they're a man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you notice a disparity between women and men's purchases, that's another show. But I have noticed that with people who make this shift in consciousness, if you will, and they get organized and their business is growing, and all of a sudden they glow.
Mm-hmm.
Their health is better. Their weight is better.
Absolutely.
Their attitude is better. It's organization can be a key component, honestly, in who you are. And I'm not making this up. I'm not kidding. It really can help you shift your focus in so many ways.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely. I've had clients who, gosh, let me see, when they start to get organized, so many different things happen. They just all of a sudden want to take up new activities. And one thing that always seems to happen quite a bit is people actually tend to move. Which is really interesting. Yeah, when I organize the space, I just say to them, by the way, just so you know, when I get you organized, when we get you organized, just expect that good things are going to start showing up. And one of the things I always ask them, like, will you plan on moving? And about 50% of them will say yes. I say, well, it's going to happen. It will happen after we get organized. In fact, I had one client who was like, you know, I've been here for quite a while, you know, 13 years, and, you know, I don't know. I kind of like my little place. Well, he just told me the other day he's moving. And
he saw the potential, apparently.
I guess. I don't know what it is, but I just have people who are just like, gosh, you know what? Now that I'm organized, I feel like I can finally take on the stuff that I've been wanting to take on. Like, you know, I've been wanting to do some more personal development courses. I've been wanting to exercise more. They all of a sudden start to see their relationships improve. I mean, I can actually see the transformation occur right in front of me. I actually had one client, I'm not kidding you, Denise, she went and put on red lipstick as we are organizing.
I love that. You've got to write a book. You must. I'm telling you.
Ventures in organizing.
And men may not understand that, but that is a huge psychological shift for a woman.
It really, really, really is.
Red lipstick is very difficult to carry off. Most women won't wear it. And if mm-hmm. you are feeling gutsy enough and secure enough to put on a red lipstick,
yep.
God bless you. You
yep.
are going to take on the world.
Yep, she sure did. She went away, came back, red lipstick. And,
I love that story.
2 months later, she had a relationship. And I don't think this woman had been in a relationship for a very, very long time. Two months later.
God.
I had another client who, gosh, I've got so many great stories. But I'll just give you a couple. I had one client who worked in, I was working at a nonprofit agency, and my job was actually just, I was an assistant to the HR director at this nonprofit. But I came in with my organizing and managed to pretty much organize the entire upper floor. And not only that, but I got people actually interested. I made feng shui a household name in this place, and this was not the type of place that would normally even think that way. And the woman who was next to me, her office just had huge filing cabinets in it. And she was just completely barricaded in there, paperwork everywhere, just dusty, everything. And I came in, I said, okay, well, let's move some of this stuff out. And she was in a space. She was willing to do it. And a couple things happened. First of all, in her prosperity corner, she actually had wall files up on her wall. In the wall files was a death certificate. She worked in the workers' compensation and division, and she had a death certificate. Oh, that's got to go. So hey. That went. And then
that was going to the shredder as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And then she also told me, you know what? I am considering moving out of my place. My daughter and I were considering moving out of our place because the rent is too expensive. And so when we got the death certificate out of there, I feng shuied up her relationship corner, just made her whole space, clean and very minimal. A couple things that wound up happening to her. One, her landlord, I mean, this is unheard of. This is when I thought, okay, this stuff really works. Her landlord came to her and said, you know what, I don't want you guys to leave. She said, we've got to leave because, too expensive. She goes, I don't want you guys to leave. You've been here for a really long time. Why don't we reduce the rent by $400 a month? So she got her rent reduced by $400. Then a man she had been dating that she had not heard of, he kind of dropped off the face of the earth, not heard from in a long time, decided to call the next day. And I've got story after story after story of stuff like that. So nobody can tell me that feng shui doesn't work.
Well,
so,
go back just a tad, and I'm kind of, I don't even know where to start. My mind is racing. Go back to the, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to run out of time in about 20 minutes. We're going to have you back. We have not covered everything that is on my list. So I'm going to take this opportunity to invite you back as a guest because this is fascinating.
I would love to.
I mean, this is absolutely fascinating. I'm having a ball. So will you come back
of
as a guest?
Of course.
Okay, thank you. So go back to the corner. Tell people what the corner is. The prosperity corner.
Feng shui, you have what's called the bagua. And first of all, in feng shui, everything is what they call qi, which is energy. So everything is based off of energy. And the way that feng shui works is that you have each area of your home or your space is divided into 9 sections, and each section represents an area of your life. If you want to find out which each section are, you can simply go onto the internet and just put in, bagua, which is B-A-G-U-A, feng shui, and you could pull up, there's just tons of information out there on the map, so you can look at each different section. But the two sections I always like to point out to people, because they're the ones that people are most interested in, is prosperity and relationships. So where the prosperity area is in your home is if, say, for instance, you walk in through your front door, whatever the far left-hand corner of your environment is, that is the prosperity corner. Whatever the far right-hand corner is, that is the relationship corner. So keep in mind also with feng shui that everything is, it's really kind of common sense, actually, Denise. It's very basic, and the stuff that I actually use as far as feng shui is concerned is very, very basic cures, but it gets results. And the intention that you set around everything is also plays a big role in this. So in your relationship corner, I had a client the other day who had a dead plant. I looked at it and I said, hello, dead plant. I kid you not, Denise. I removed the dead plant. We did a little adjustment, turned everything around, da-da-da, in that little area. He actually called me a week later. He said, can we turn this off? Can we turn this what? Off? Because he had so many dates coming his way.
Put
he
the bonnet
actually
back.
Asked me, can we turn it off? I was like, I didn't even know how to answer the question because
no.
I never, that was never posed to me before. I'm like, okay, well, let's just put the dead plant back, I guess. I don't know. And so far right-hand corner, so you got a dead plant. Let's say you have pictures of, you don't want to have pictures of your family in there. Well, I mean, I suppose if you want, you know, there's a family area, but, you know, in your bedroom is also a big representation of your relationship. So, like women, if you have a bunch of pillows and teddy bears sitting on your bed, intuitively, if the man walks into your bedroom and he sees a bunch of pillows and teddy bears on your bed, he's just kind of on an unconscious level go, oh, there's no room for me on that bed.
I would think that he would think, well, she wants a daddy. She wants somebody to take care of her.
Oh, there you go. You're right. It could be interpreted in so many different ways. So that's what it's all about. It's all about intention, interpretation, and just the common sense. If you have, I've had a client who had unpaid bills, a trash can, and a dead plant in his prosperity corner. I said, holy moly, friend, you got to get that out of there. A week later, I'm telling you, I could just go on and on and on with these stories. So in the prosperity corner, again, it's the far left-hand corner of your environment.
That would
not
be
only,
my fireplace. What does that tell you?
Well,
that's not
let
a
me
good
just,
sign, is it?
And actually, it can be okay, but you want to make sure with the fireplace you have a mirror over your fireplace.
I do.
Good. Perfect.
Okay. And we're going to have to chat after this call.
we definitely will, because there's a lot of different things you can employ. But what you want to do is you want to make sure you're taking elements out of those areas that go against what it is that you are intending to create. So, you know, relationships, if you got dead roses or cards from ex-girlfriends that broke your heart, get them out of there and replace it.
You know what you do with that, and I will tell you from my own perspective and my own experiences,
yeah.
Have a bonfire. That is so cathartic. You have no idea.
You're right.
Get rid of the pictures. Get rid of the letters. If you don't have a shredder, it's not as fun shredding. Bonfire, very fun.
Bonfire.
Bonfire.
Yeah, I think that was a Friends episode, actually. They all the girls got together on Valentine's Day, and they all put all of their old love letters in the bonfire. Well, they caused the smoke alarm to set off, and then a bunch of handsome firefighters showed up. So you see, out with the old and with the new, instantly.
It's very cathartic, though, if you just make the decision to get rid of, and it doesn't have to be from, you know, an old lover, or an old husband, or, you know, even a family member. It can be old documents where you were just really upset with a corporation.
Sure.
Where you fired off a nasty letter to somebody. That no longer serves you. It's negative energy.
Burn it. Exactly.
You know, fire is a very positive energy if it's used properly. So bonfire is a lot of fun. I suggest you clean out the garage, you clean out that filing cabinet, and you just have a wampum bonfire and have some marshmallows. Go to town with it. Have a good time. Put on a pound or two, and then just have a great time.
I got an idea. Let's have National Bonfire Day. So everybody shows up with all their, would you call it
junk.
Treasures?
They're detritus. They're artifacts of, you know, old relationships. Get rid of those things.
Get rid of them.
You don't want those outliving you. You don't.
No,
you do not
right.
want somebody coming in and going, what? What the heck? What? Get rid of them.
Why did you hold on to this? Yeah.
Yeah, and
I
you
agree.
Did what? Get rid of it. I'm telling you, get rid of it. And I'm talking on a business and a personal level as well. I mean, you know, I was cleaning out my computer, you know, just go back to the organization aspect of this.
Right.
I was cleaning out my computer the other day. I have, oh gosh, files that go back 10 years.
Oh,
it
wow.
is time to get rid of them. They're serving no purpose. They're taking up resources on my hard drive.
Mm-hmm.
Lose them. And, you know, I was, you know, taking the time to kind of read them. Don't do that.
Right.
If you haven't
yeah.
seen it in a very long time, you don't want to revisit what might have been an angst-filled period. Don't look at it. Get
yeah.
rid of it.
Exactly.
So, okay, this is your show, so I'm not talking a lot. So what do you do? How do you encourage someone to let go of their belongings, which ties into what we were just talking about? How do you encourage them to just say, clean it out? Clean
mm-hmm.
it out and let the new come in.
Well, it's that's the reason why I follow the systematic approach that I do, and I'll just revisit that. It's the, like I said, Julie Morgenstern's approach. She calls it SPACE, S-P-A-C-E. That stands for sort, purge, or I also like to call pare down. Some people don't like the word purge. Sort, pare down, assign an area, containerize, and equalize. And I always like to follow that approach because in the sorting process, it's going to be a lot easier for somebody to make the decisions to let them go. I always use an analogy of, say, like bats. You go into a garage and you look in the left-hand corner and you see a bat. And so initially you're like, well, I can't get rid of that bat because that's my only bat. But then you start to go through the other areas of the garage and you start to bring all like items together, and all of a sudden you've got a pile of 20 bats. I know that's kind of an out there example. You've got 20 bats that are sitting there, and you're like, well, I don't need 20 bats. I only need one bat. And it's going to be a lot easier for you to actually let it go versus if you actually are looking in the left-hand corner, you see a bat, well, I can't get rid of that bat. Go in there another day, you see a bat sitting in the right-hand corner, well, I can't get rid of that bat because I only have one bat. And so that's why you want to follow this approach, because then it makes more sense to you that you don't need all of that stuff when you start the sorting process. And then what will happen is, like I said, I just kind of let the, use a Hollywood term here. I learned this word when I was on the set of Must Love Kids. They like the word organic. So instead of letting things happen naturally, let it happen organically. I thought it was hilarious. And so I just kind of let it start to reveal itself. And so I'll just kind of ask some questions. I'll start with the typical questions of just like, okay, well, you know, when's the last time that you used this? So what is the reason that you're going to use this? And there's resistance at first. There's almost always a resistance unless they're really ready to let it go. And I just worked with a client the other day who was just like, oh, my God, she's just plowed through her stuff. She was so ready. But there's always going to be some sort of a level of resistance at first. And I tell my clients that right from the beginning. I say, listen, I'm going to come in, and we're going to start going through your stuff, and you're going to have kind of a little pouting time that you're going to be going through. You're going to pout for a little
bit.
I guarantee you, you will pout. So what's going to happen is, first thing that's going to come along, okay, I'm going to start asking your questions. You're going to, no. You're going to hold your arms together, stomp your little feet, no. And you're going to come with your little reasons why you need to keep it. Okay, all right. And I'll just kind of let it go, and the next thing comes along, and you'll pout. You'll still pout. The pouting won't be as long, and you won't be as, pouty. And then eventually, you will start to have a little bit less resistance, and then eventually it will get to this place where once you've gotten over your pouting, you will start to ask yourself the questions. I've actually sat there with clients where I'm asking the questions, and then I kind of back off for a little while, and maybe I'll go in another room and leave them with their stuff, leave them a little assignment. Okay, this box right here, you need to go through this box. I'm going to give you 20 minutes to go through that box. Okay. And then I kind of listen in on the other room, kind of like a mom listening to her kid. What's going on in there? And I hear them. They start asking themselves questions. And next thing you know, you just hear the, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I can't believe this. And then they just go through it all. They do it themselves. And I don't even have to do it anymore because they're just doing it for themselves. But occasionally, there is a client who it's just absolutely resistant, just will not move. I mean, I've worked with so many clients, and I could say honestly, I've had maybe two people that were absolutely not going to get rid of anything. And it took me probably, I don't know, maybe about 2 hours of organizing this one person. When I finally looked at her, I said, you're not going to let anything go, are you? Nope. And I said,
did you pack up your car and go home?
No, I did it, because I actually, and I do tell people this, that to get organized, you don't have to let things go. We could actually get you organized. You can keep everything you have. Will it be harder? Yes. Will it maybe make things more expensive? Probably, because we're going to buy more sorting containers. We're going to have to buy more shelving. We're going to maybe have to get you. I've had a client who had to, her garage was so full, we had to actually make her get a storage locker just to hold all of her Christmas stuff and presents that she never gave away.
That's
so,
how you buy
and
a
actually,
house.
She had a huge house with a garage, and she had two more storage lockers that we had to get for her. So it's actually, it costs people money, more money,
it does.
To have all their stuff.
It really does. And there really comes, and I keep going back to this, that negative energy. Whether you're aware of it or not, it is there. It exists in your home.
It does.
And you really just need to clear that out. And once you clear that out, in my perspective, and the things that have happened to me in my life, when you let go of that, it is incredibly freeing.
Incredible.
So that leads me to kind of, and we have not covered, I promise you, anywhere near what we need to cover. Tell people where they can go. Where's your website? I want to send people to your website.
Absolutely. It's www.miss-organized.com. So it's M-I-S-S hyphen organized.
Is it a hyphen or a dash?
Well, you could say dash is probably, okay. Yeah. So it's organized with a D. I just got organized. So miss-organized or dash-organized.com.
Okay. So how can you help people, my clients, I have a lot of them who could definitely use your services.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a component of your business where you are able to help people online or
mm-hmm.
remotely, virtually? I'm a virtual assistant. I do everything virtually. So that's a big thing for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a component of your business, and we kind of touched on that, where you can have the accountability, where you call them, or they can send you pictures, and
absolutely.
You know, you can set up times. So how would somebody who is listening to the show, or when you know, I recommend you, which I will be doing, how do they get in touch with you,
mm-hmm.
and how do you set that up?
The best thing for them to do is they can either call me, and my number is on the website, or they can email me, and they can just let me know what their situation is and what they want to accomplish and their goals, and then we just start a dialogue, just do an assessment of what it is that they need, and then we set them up with the plan. Set them up with the plan, we decide when it's going to happen, and then I hold them accountable through the process. And I'll tell you, Denise, it's, you know, some people actually do need, even if they did have a plan, they still wouldn't be able to do it on their own because they're so overwhelmed. And in that particular case, I would probably get them to recruit some people to help them just so they can have actually somebody physically there with them while they're doing it. Other people can actually do it on their own, and they just need that simple plan. I've had clients where I just simply mention that I am an organizer, and they organize themselves. It's the craziest thing. It's just really crazy. So
do you have a network of organizers that you can call and say, well, I can't physically be there, but my partner in this city can?
Yeah, absolutely. If that's what it's going to take for them to actually be there, have somebody physically there to help them along, and they just follow the plan I've set up with them, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good, good. This is important. It really is. I have clients say, well, you know, I'm going to send you this information. As soon as I find it, my stomach drops. Like, oh, my.
As soon as I find it, yes. Famous last words.
Those are not words I want to hear ever.
Yeah.
The organization, particularly in today's world where we are going virtual, we are going online, you know, people are moving away from, and corporations will never completely die and businesses will never die, brick and mortar businesses. But the trend is moving more and more towards virtual reality.
Yeah.
You need to be organized. You need to, your desktop, and I'm not just talking about your space. Your desk needs to be organized. Your desktop needs to be, and when I say desktop, I'm talking about your computer.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have your files organized. You have to have your files and your Outlook organized.
Yeah.
If you can get into that habit, you can expand time, literally.
Mm-hmm.
If you're so organized, and I find this in my day-to-day life, I have to expand time. I'm incredibly busy. It's very easy to do when you're not wandering around going, well, what the heck? Where did I put that? What did I do with that? Oh, my gosh, where do I look? That can start a chain reaction that just frustrates you. And can honest to goodness, it can ruin your whole day.
It really can.
And then it can ruin your family's day because, let's face it, the woman is the home.
Yeah.
So, you know, your poor husband walks in, he's like, hi, honey. Not good.
Yeah. No,
so
you're
how do you cope
right.
with that? And I know I wanted to ask you about that. How very, very quickly, there has got to be a negative impact on people's families, and we can say man or woman, entrepreneurs that work at home, they're both.
Yeah.
How does that impact, you know, if you've got somebody who's so unorganized and just so disorganized, how does that really affect their family life?
Well, it's the same thing that affects them. It's the energy. It's the negative energy. Somebody walks into their room, and you can just totally, like a teenage son, can just be totally unmotivated. You know, his environment, I had a client who the furniture that was in this teenage girl's bedroom was the same furniture she had when she was 5 years old. It didn't serve her anymore. But the mom was just so overwhelmed with her business, so overwhelmed with just being a mom, that she wasn't paying attention to her family. Mm-hmm. And you had this child, she came in there and she says, I need you to organize my daughter's schoolwork because she has ADD. No, she did not. I came in there and found out that the child was just completely unmotivated because she was mm-hmm. existing in a room that was made for her when she was 5 years old. And so that's part of the problem, is that how it affects the family is because if it's affecting the mom and putting her in a state of overwhelm and chaos, then the mom is not, one, taking care of herself, or even the dad. You know, I don't want to keep talking about the mom. The parents, if they are so overwhelmed, then they cannot pay attention to themselves, and then they are not being as fully present as they most possibly can for their kids, which, of course, their kids will feel. The kids were going to think, my mom doesn't have attention, doesn't have the time for me, and then that's when, you know, all sorts of trouble starts to happen because the mom is completely overwhelmed. The dad is completely overwhelmed, and that's the word, the buzzword that I hear constantly with disorganization. I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed, I'm overwhelmed. And if you walk into a space and you just see nothing but stuff everywhere, it's just like, where do I start? Oh, my God, I have so much to do. And if the kids are picking up on that energy, then it's going to cause them to start to feel that way too. And maybe they don't want to, like, interact with the mom or the dad because I don't want to overwhelm my mom even more. So then maybe they start to withdraw. It just has such a catalyst effect.
With
so
a high
really,
anxiety situation.
Oh, absolutely. For everybody in the house. So it does have a very, again, it's all energy.
And, you know, these days, given all the tools we have and the processes and the systems we have, there's really no reason to be overwhelmed.
Right. So. Well, that's true to an extent, but there's also this way of living nowadays where we have so much on our plate that the technology, it actually, even though it does make things easier, like say for instance the BlackBerry, it does make easier for you to get your emails, but now all of a sudden you're in a space where you get to check your emails all the time. Mm-hmm. So you're just not being, you're maybe not being present and available. If you got your kids sitting in front of you and you're constantly checking your BlackBerry because of all the emails you're getting in, then you're not being present and available for your child. And
you
so
know,
even though it's making life easier, you're actually still in a place where you're just completely overwhelmed with everything because you're just, mm-hmm. it's so at our fingertips that you just want to handle it and handle it now.
You know, it's interesting that you should say that. Yesterday I went to the grocery store, which is something I don't often do. That's my husband's job.
Good for you.
But I mean, I hate shopping. Anybody
oh,
who
God,
listens
hear you,
to me
sister.
Knows that I hate shopping. It is not my job. I don't do it. But yesterday I decided I needed to go to the grocery store, and I took my cat with me because he loves to drive in a car. That's part of his therapy. Well, he has feline
That's
leukemia.
That's a thing to see.
Yeah. Oh, it is. He's a Maine Coon, and he has feline leukemia. He's had it for 4 years, and I take him for a drive every day. That's just part of his therapy. He loves it.
That's great.
And he loves to go for drives. I mean, I've taken him on hour-long trips before, and he's just fine. But, you know, we got in the car, and we went to the grocery store, and I got back into the car after my very quick trip into the grocery store. And people are always standing around the car looking at this huge cat and going, what the heck? So, that you know, he always has his little fan base down here. But I was getting ready to pull out of my slot, and I looked at this woman, you know, a young woman, maybe 25, 26 years old. She gets out of her car. She reaches into the back seat. She pulls her probably 4 or 5-year-old daughter out of the car. She's on her phone the whole time. At no point other than physically handing her hand to the daughter to pull her out did she interact with her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very, not upset, but it struck me as just kind of a sign of the times. I mean, here's this woman. She's got her child in the car with her. It's a perfect time for anything, chat, motivation, education.
Right.
And she's on the phone to God knows who, and she is absolutely not paying attention to her daughter. She's facing the door, and the daughter could have at any moment walked out into the lane where she could have gotten hit by a car. I was sitting, my heart hurt. I mean, my stomach hurt. And this is really just, I observe this all the time. This is the norm.
Yeah.
And people, you know, use these phones and they use their BlackBerries. I have a BlackBerry. I'm guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have small children either. Mm-hmm. But people are doing this when maybe they should just say, okay, this is part of my organization. I am not going to to be on the phone while I'm driving. I am not going to be on the phone while I'm with my daughter. I am not going to be on the phone when I'm with my husband. Does that come into your organization skills? Is that a topic that is discussed?
Actually, no, that isn't discussed. But I will tell you what comes up for me when you're saying that is that if the person was organized, here's the mentality that's going on probably, unless it's a conversation with a friend, say if there's a business or whatever is going on. If you're a small business owner, chances are you're in a position where you're just having to handle it whenever you can, because you are just so overwhelmed. You don't have any specific periods of time that you're designating for, okay, between these hours I'm taking sales calls, between these hours I'm doing follow-ups or whatever, because you're just kind of going with it. I'll just do it when I can. And so my thoughts are, is that if you are organized, you're going to take less of the chaos out of it, and then you'll be more in a space where you'll be much more in control of what's going on throughout your day, so that whenever you do have time to be able to interact with your family, that it could be about your family. It could be about the task at hand, grocery shopping. I'm not a fan of it either. I'm really not. I'm like, when I get married, my husband's going to have to be the cook, because otherwise we're going to starve.
I love to cook. I just won't shop.
Well, I don't like
it. If it doesn't
either.
Come to my door in UPS or FedEx boxes, I don't want it. It's just that simple.
I love it. Which is actually unusual for a woman, so that's a good thing.
And I don't like chocolate either.
So. Oh, really? Wow.
And the stuff. Don't like anything sweet at all.
Wow, but you're the cheese and cracker, aren't you? You like the
yes.
cheese and cracker type
salty
of stuff,
and
right?
savory.
Yes. I used to be a personal trainer, too, so that's how I know that stuff.
Yeah.
But the point is that if you do have your spaces organized, then it's going to give you a lot more clarity and control over your day. So you'll be able to say, okay, I know I got to pick up my little girl at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so I walk into my office, I'm going to feel a lot more calm and controlled and collected, clear about what I need to do, instead of just handling everything, putting out fires right away. I know that, in this space, this is what I accomplished during this time. But none of that stuff is going to be come to your awareness or even something that's even possible until you get your space organized. It's just not going to happen. I mean, it's a rare case where it actually does happen, where somebody is able to manage their day and they do still have a chaotic space. But I'm just telling you, start with the basics. Start with the foundation. Clear the clutter from your environment. Set up systems. When you start to get those two elements in place, you're going to notice that your day is going to start to flow a lot more easily. You're not going to have to just be taking the calls when you have to take the calls and interfering with your family time. And so you can be more focused on your children, more focused on your husband, more focused on your wife, and your life is just going to flow a lot more easily.
It does. I have really set about, when I started my business some years ago, I set about training people how they could interact with me. Family time is family time.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to kind of segmenting what you were talking about. When I'm with my husband, I'm concentrating on my husband.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm talking with my mother or other family members, that's their time. Now, they know from years of experience that they can't just call willy-nilly. I'm very, very busy.
Mm-hmm.
But they also know that when we do have our time, and it's a little bit loose. I don't have, call me at 2 o'clock on Saturday. I'm not that bad about it. But they also know that when I'm speaking with them and chatting with them, my screens are shut down. I'm not looking at email. I'm not focusing on anything other than my family member.
Right.
And if you do
that's
that,
awesome.
if you take the time to train people how to treat you,
mm-hmm.
it just makes it a lot easier as well.
Mm,
and
it
goes into that organization. I'm organized just enough that I know when I have time to talk with family and friends.
Sure.
And they know it too. And they're appreciative of it, because then they don't feel like, well, I can't call her. She's just so busy.
Mm.
So
right.
It all really works out.
Mm-hmm.
So,
listen,
Tracy,
right about
it is. This has been so enjoyable. I've had really a lot of fun with this call, and
I really
want you to come back. We're way past out of time, and the call is still recording, but people who were listening, streaming, can't hear it any longer. So I will get in touch with you in just a little bit, and we'll set up another time, because you have so much information to share. But before we get off the phone, send people to your website one more time. And you know what I'd like for you to do?
Mm-hmm.
Tell them how to find the show that you and your daughter were on.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, I do want to mention that who is ever listening to the show, I do want to extend a special offer to your listeners, and I'm offering 25% off of my normal rates. And if they want to contact me, the best thing to do is go to my website, which again is www.miss-organized.com. So it's miss-organized.com. You'll find my email and phone number on there, and they can go ahead and just contact me, and let's just start a conversation. And as far as the link to find my shows, you can go on to aolvideo.com, and just type in the words must love kids, and you'll find several episodes that pop up. They actually only have the first two episodes online, but you can, you know, watch those. Unfortunately, they don't have all 10 episodes online, but that will just kind of give you a little idea of what my life is all about as a single mom and business owner, and introduce you to my little sassy redhead named Paris.
Oh, I'm definitely
she's a
going
firecracker.
To go watch those. Well, I will definitely be over there taking a look at that. Tracy, thank you so much for being with me here today. You've given my listeners some really valuable information, and I know that they appreciate it as much as I do, and we will definitely have you back. We have barely begun to scratch the surface of getting organized and why you should be organized and really what it will do for your business life, for your home life, just your general peace of mind.
Sure.
I think it's so important. Some people don't. I do. So if you're interested in this, we will have Tracy back. So thank you all for being here, and the show will be available for download in just about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths wishing you a wonderful day. Oh, and I need to tell you, we will not be broadcasting next Friday, but I will return on Friday, February the 13th, for our next online entrepreneur interview. We will have Tom Buford back. Tom Buford, as you know, is the fee-setting go-to guy. He has been very, very busy since our last interview, and he's got some wonderful resources to offer my listeners. Tracy, thank you.
Thank you.
And everybody, y'all have a great weekend.